King's kids, second grade on down, you are dismissed. Because I know it's not fun to wait. We sing about waiting, but boy, that's hard to do. Peace, come enlighten us. We'll have our reading and our lighting of the Advent candles, and then we will pray.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to the fourth Sunday in Advent. We light the four candles and wait expectantly to light the last candle, the Christ candle, on Christmas Eve. Today we're talking about peace. There was a point in our lives when my husband and I had four children under the age of seven. Those were busy, crazy times that are a lot more fun to look back on than they were to endure while they were happening. During that time, a friend of mine bought me this book. It's called 5 Minutes Peace. It's the story of Mother Large Elephant and her three little elephant children, and it begins... The children were having breakfast. It was not a pretty sight. So Mother Large decides she will sneak away and get a hot bath for 5 minutes peace while they're busy. She draws the hot bath, adds a few bubbles, and closes her eyes for 5 minutes peace. Okay, moms, you've been there. I used to say all I had to do was head for the bathroom or get on the phone for all of my children to immediately need something. Poor Mrs. Elephant. First, there's a persistent knock on the door. Knock, knock, knock. Can I come in? I want to play you a song on my flute. Then a second knock, knock, knock. Mommy, can I read you a story? And finally, a little note is shoved under the door. Mommy, please, can I come in? You can imagine, eventually all three children end up in the bathroom with one actually in the bathtub with poor Mother Elephant. Peace. It's often hard to find. Everyone agrees we need it, but it seems elusive with everything going on around us. Whether you're managing young children, teenagers, elderly parents, financial stress, family worries, problems at work, medical concerns, life, it's a lot. Is it even possible to have peace here on earth? Or do we have to wait for peace till we get to heaven? But then we hear Jesus' voice in John 14. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And a little further in chapter 16, he says, I have said these things to you that in me you have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Peace is not unattainable. In the Old Testament, there's a word shalom, and it's often interpreted to mean peace. But in reality, it means a little more than that. It means harmony, wholeness, and nothing is missing. When we have shalom, we have all we need, and that is peace. Recognizing Jesus is everything we need to make it through life. The greeting shalom then means, may you experience wholeness and harmony and peace. Peace is not the absence of noise, conflict, or trial. Peace is a gift from our Savior, Jesus the Christ. I used to direct a Christian daycare, and one of our favorite songs for three-year-olds was, I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like a river in my soul. Peace. All we have to do is honor God's promise that when things get tough, he has truly and forever overcome this world and hold on to the peace that only he'll be able to give.
Amen. God, we need you to remind us that peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of a Savior who is always calm, who is always gentle and lowly with our shortcomings, who is always grace-filled, who is always grounded in truth. Peace is Jesus. And God, we come to you as a needy people this morning, confessing we fall short of keeping Him first in our hearts. And we fall short of making every moment of Christmas about Jesus. We fall short, God, in giving you the praise and glory that is due to your name for every good thing. We fall short. And yet we come to you and ask that you would teach us and give us your peace, which surpasses anything we can grasp for or achieve on our own. We need a peace that only comes from your hand. We want what only you can give us, God. So help us not to look for it in other people or in perfect circumstances or a perfect holiday meal or the perfect present. Help us to look for it in you. Direct us with the words that you have written for us. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Turn with me to Luke chapter 2 as we explore peace. We're going to read more of Luke chapter 2 in just a minute. But to begin, I want you to see where we will end. Luke 2:14. These are the words of angels, God's holy messengers, who, though they had a message to bring, couldn't control themselves. I don't know if God even told them to say this. I get the impression that God had a message for them to share, and this was just spontaneous. This just overflowed. This was just the way they started things, interrupted things, and ended things by saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." And we will talk about peace this morning, but before we get there, I need you to understand glory. Because if you don't get that first part, you will never get the second part. If you don't understand the word glory, you'll never experience peace. You are created for glory, and the benefit is peace. Peace flows out of glory to God in the highest. So what is glory? Glory is high renown or honor won by notable achievements. That's one definition. So you can earn it, fight for it, win it, win some glory. Or it is magnificence or great beauty. So it's glory emanating from your character, from your person, magnificence, great beauty. When we apply it to God, the glory of God is His honor, His reputation based upon His character and His achievements. God would be glorious even if He didn't do anything. It's who He is. And yet everything He does makes Him more glorious. So for God, it is both. It is both what He has done and who He is. The glory of God is the radiance of His goodness, His holiness, and His righteousness. Think about it like this. No one has actually looked at the sun. We can use filters. We can hope that the moon causes an eclipse. We can use satellite imagery, high-speed photography, and get a glimpse maybe at more of the sun. But with your eye, you can't look at the sun. Your humanity can't endure that. But what do you see? You experience light from the sun. You experience the heat from the sun. So you experience it. We call it seeing it, but we're not really seeing it. Same is true with God. You can't look at God. You can't see him. You can experience him. And what you experience of God, though you can't see him, what you experience from him is glory. The radiance of who he is, though you can't see God, you experience things about him. With the sun, we experience light and heat. With God, what does he radiate? What glories flow from God, the person of God? Goodness, truth, holiness, righteousness, love, joy, hope, peace. These are the things that are a part of who God is. We experience them as his glory. But that's not where it's supposed to end. All things about God are not supposed to find a cul-de-sac or a dead end in your life. Because you are created to glorify that glorious God. Write this down. God's glory is that part of him which we experience as him. God's glory, it's that part of him, those many attributes, but God's glory is that part of him which we then experience, the light and the heat of God. That's what we experience. Though we haven't seen him, we can know him. Though we are imperfect and cannot look upon him, we can still say that we see him. But that's not all of him. And I think of it as, I think of God's glory as God handing us parts of himself. Here's truth. I just imagine God, here's love. I see God as this benevolent father figure, giving and giving. For God so loved the world that here's my son. Here is righteousness. This is what's truth. I see myself as just a constant recipient. That's receiving the glory of God. But that's not what I was made for only. And if you stop there, you become a puffed up, braggadocious, religious hypocrite who is full of the goodness of God, but obese in your piety. Because it's not supposed to end with you. We're supposed to see it, savor it, receive it. Here's the thing. And then speak it out to other people. Tell people that God is good. Tell people God is true. Tell people Jesus is God's only begotten Son. That's what it means to glorify God. When you receive it, see it, savor it, take it in, don't miss that last step. You're created for this moment to reflect who God is to the rest of this world. And it needs to come out of your mouth, not just your hands. And it needs to come out of your hands and your service to others, not just your mouth. It's both. It's all of your life. For you to properly be the human God created you to be, you need to bring glory to God. Here's the good news. You don't have to make it up. You just have to look at it, see it, acknowledge it, absorb it, and then just give it. Isn't that the spirit of Christmas? Giving. Give people what is eternal. Give God what he wants for Christmas. More of himself. He wants to see himself reflected in your words of kindness and gentleness. He wants to see himself filling you and then you overflowing. Streams of living water will flow within you. He is the water of life, the bread of life, the light of the world. And it's supposed to be coming out of you. And you don't have to manufacture that. All you have to do is take it from God, let it bless you, and then use it to bless others. That's what it means to bring glory to God. Write this down. God deserves all glory from us because He is the source of all glory to us. He is the source of all glory to us. When you glorify God, you are using your life to express back to God that He is God. You are loving. You are my complete joy. You are peaceful. You are patient. You are kind to me. You are good to me. You are faithful to me. You are gentle to me. God, you have exercised so much control over everything in life. And this is where the Apostle Paul overflows in Galatians 5 with the fruit of the Spirit. All those things that are supposed to be the fruit of the Spirit in you, those things that you kind of ask God to help you to do, those are just God being God in you. You don't have to make that stuff up. You just have to have the self-control to let God be who He is, and then you do what He wants to do. He wants to be loving through you. You don't have to love people. That should set you free. You let God love other people. Well, how do they need to be loved? What are their needs? What are their real needs? Love them like God loves them, with truth. You don't have to always be filled with joy. But if you have Jesus, you should have the joy of the Lord. That means He's right with God, you're right with God, everything else can be going to pot. But you're right with God. You have this untouchable quality in you. Because He's the source of all the glory. He's the source of glory. So now I want to read Luke again. So in Luke chapter 2, I'm going verses 1 through 21. Then we'll circle back to verse 14 again. But I want you to see it in context, which is within what is traditionally called the Christmas story. No trees, no lights. In this section here, no presents. Like, what in the world? I just read this morning that Mr. Rogers was asked to sponsor a window display at a big fancy store, I think in New York. And, you know, Mr. Rogers was selfless and didn't like consumerism, but he got to design the window. So he designed the window with a child-sized Christmas tree with the roots placed in a clear box with the dirt. No ornaments, no lights, no star. And he just put the little phrase on it, "I like you just the way you are." I thought, dude, that guy is otherworldly. That's insane. Yeah, that's the spirit of Christmas. God loves you just the way you are. And you have to respond to that the right way. Now, you may be really sophisticated and be all dressed and fancy and clean and trimmed up and wear your Santa hat. You may be all decked out for the holidays. But you know what? Come December, when you put those ugly sweaters away, He still cares about you. When you put that tree back into the attic, when you return many of those gifts for gift cards and credits, when you put some of those toys into the trash because the batteries died. I hear you. When the thrill of Christmas fizzles and you're left with just yourself, you've got to remember, God likes you. He's done something to prove it. And it was glorious. But it's not the end. So let's read this story. Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered and taxed. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as that had been told them. At the end of 8 days, Jesus was circumcised, and he was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel, before he was conceived in the womb. The first Christmas. I want to focus on the shepherds for a moment and show you why they are there. The next blank. Good news of great joy. The shepherds were exposed to the glory of God. God is radiating truth and revelation to them. And it was good. Scared the life out of them. Full of joy, scary. They were scared. They were afraid. The first words out of the angel's mouth are, "Fear not." And I kind of think he said it like that. You know, every time these angels are appearing to people, they're falling down, they're worshiping, they're trembling in their booths. "Fear not. I've got good news." Beware of any supernatural experience or book that talks to you about warm and fuzzy feelings of being in the presence of angels and God if they do not first fall down in holy fear of God and think they're going to die and go to hell. I mean, because you realize you're not perfect. You realize you need help. It is a fearful thing. But they say, "We've got good news for you and great joy." And I think they picked them up and set them back on their feet. Guys, listen, we're not done with you yet. They got good news of great joy in verse 9. And then in verses 15 and 16, they believed and acted. Write that down. So they hear it. They look at each other. Let's go check it out. They believed it. They believed the good news. And they went to check it out. They put actions on it. They didn't just say, "Hey, thank you. Thank you. What a blessing. That's so great. Gotta go back to the sheep. Gotta go home. My wife's waiting for me. I got chores to do." They didn't just go back to life as normal. They heard it and did something about it. And then in verse 17, they made it known. They said something about it. You couldn't shut these guys up. When they saw it, they made it known, the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And everybody who heard them, heard it, wondered at what the shepherds told them. Because they have a disconnect. They've got a message that nobody else can really identify with. It doesn't stop them from saying it. They don't worry about explaining it. They're just talking about it. Is there not a lesson in these shepherds for you? Yes. You have to hear the good news. You have to believe and act on the good news. And then you have to make it known. But that's leads us into verse 20. The shepherds returned back to their normal jobs, normal location, but they were different people because then they were glorifying and praising God for all that they'd heard and seen. You see the cycle there? God's glory radiating on you, you absorbing it, you living it, you acting upon it, you telling other people about it. That is what it means to glorify God. God is glorious. He reveals himself to you, and for you to glorify him back is to do something about it, talk about it, and share it. Write this down, the next phrase. Glorify God more, comma, and his peace will flood your life. His peace will flood your life. Luke 2:14 is typed out there. In Greek. So we're going to do a little interlinear translation. I've got a slide for it, so go for it. Oh man, that's small. I couldn't fit it all. My bad. All right. I spaced out the Greek words, so the top line has got four. Under the first word, write the word glory. Under the small second word, write the word in. If you want to do parentheses, you can put the. The is an English qualifier there. Article. We have to supply it in English. It's not there. The third word in is highest. And the fourth word on that first line is to God. So, literally translated, it is glory in highest to God. Main idea, main focus of the sentence, glory in the highest to God. Highest what? Well, where is God? In heaven, above all things, ruling all things. It's a reference to God's superiority over all things. There's nobody above God. If anything exists, it is under his vision, under his rule, under his reign. It is a very nice way of saying God is king of everything and you better do what he says. He is radiating all of his glory down upon us. We're down below. He's radiating. That's where I get this imagery of him. Anything we know about God, he's given us. Any good and perfect gift from him who's above, the Father of lights, giver of all good things. That's the imagery here. Glory in the highest to God. And then the next line, and on earth. Those are the first three. And on earth, peace. And on earth, peace. That little EV is a big word among. Anthropopoi, humanity, plural for all of them, not just men, all of humanity. And then this little word over here, that last dangling word, is that entire last phrase, with whom he is pleased. And I felt it important to type all of that out, to make a slide for that, to put it in your notes, to have you write it down, because the translation is not, it is not peace on earth and goodwill. That's, the word and is not even in there. It's not peace on earth, oh, that's for everybody, and goodwill towards man. And that we have that in some songs, and we have that in some greeting cards, we have that in some translations of the Bible, but it doesn't capture the idea here. I think we've captured glory, so now we're moving on. What is this peace? Well, first of all, it's on earth. God is here, we are here. Peace is one of these glorious attributes God is handing down to us if we will grab it. To who exactly? Just to the Hebrews, just to the Jews, just to the children of Abraham? Nope. Among all humanity. It's going to be available to more than just the descendants of Abraham. Because that's the very promise to Abraham. I'm going to multiply and bless you, but also you and your children. Yes, but also I'm going to give you this promised land. Yes, but also I'm going to bless the entire earth through you, Abraham. That's what it's capturing. This is not just glory and peace. So here's how we break it down. Glory in the highest to God, and on earth peace. But there's a qualifier here. Peace where? Among humanity, and another qualifier, with whom he is pleased. God is not pleased with everybody. He shouldn't be pleased with anybody. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? From Adam and Eve on to you, your kids, your grandkids. You give them a pair of black socks for Christmas, and the truth will come out. You'll see ungratefulness and, I'm so thankful for these breath mints, for this peppermint, for this apple in my stocking. Where are the Sour Patch Kids? Right? Well, you just want to treat your kids to the past and be grateful and teach them gratitude. Yeah. Careful there. But all of us fall short of the glory of God, and it comes out. We see that in life, that we all sin. We're all selfish. We all have a bent towards doing what is wrong. So why on earth would God show pleasure towards any human? Well, he's the one who's giving, so it's on his conditions, it's on his terms. And we know it's not to everybody. This is not a statement of universalism. But it says, on earth, peace among humanity. Isn't that everybody? That's not the last sentence, though. Among humanity, with whom he is pleased. And here's where the circle gets completed. With whom is God pleased? With those who give him glory in the highest. That's the connection. When you do and be the person God tells you to be, resting in him, and then you glorify him. Now, glorifying him is not about good works. It's not about what you do to achieve anything. You haven't achieved anything. You've received everything from God, and you're simply living out the life that glorifies him back. Those are the people with whom he is pleased. And what do those people who glorify God as the highest in their lives, what is the side benefit of that? Peace. Man, it takes a long time to get to peace. That's because it's one attribute of God's glories streaming down to you. And you don't just grab it. And I've got peace. Peace like a river, right? Down in my soul. Okay, that's good. Now go be peaceful. Oh, whoa, that guy pushed me at recess. That guy took my lunch money. That person called me a bad name. No. I'm not going to be peaceful to them. Then you really don't have peace. Because if you have it, God means for you to share it. God means for you to glorify him with everything that he gives you. You are a vessel of blessings to others. That's what you're created for. That's the imagery the Bible uses. Receiving, giving. Receiving, giving. More blessed to give from other humans than to receive from other humans, because you need to be busy receiving from the non-human. And when you receive from him, you give to others. And then you don't go around looking for other people. Hey, you owe me love and joy and peace and patience. What's going to happen if you look to other people to meet all of your needs? You are going to be the Grinch at the beginning. What happens when you discover that there's something deeper to this whole Christmas thing? When you receive from God, he enlarges your heart. You can love people that are unlovable You can have joy at a funeral. You can have gentleness, kindness. How do I live out the fruit of the Spirit? Have you received the fruit of the Spirit? First, you need to get them. You need to know how God loves you, how God radiates himself to you, and you receive that, and you meditate on that, and you pray that, and you sing that, but then you have to give that. And let me help you with this. You're not going to find anybody who deserves it, so don't even look. Just give it. And when you wear out and when you're tired and you need to fill up again, you don't look to other people to meet your needs. Your spouse cannot meet all of your needs. Your relationships, your career, your bank account, your Christmas tree, that little sign in the front of your eyes says yard of the month. That's not going to meet all of your needs. Receive from Jesus. Write this down. Next blank. The ultimate glory of God is Jesus. Yes. And amen. Craig, what took you so long to get there? I was kind of following the book. What took him so long to get to Luke 2? God, Luke 2. Is God taking all this glory and pouring it into his Son, who becomes the Word made flesh, who becomes the glory of God in the highest, who came, however, not to rule and reign from above, but to wash feet and to get on his knees and serve from below. Wow, the ultimate glory and revelation of who God is in Jesus. And he's not a God looking to rule and reign harshly over you. He's looking to serve you. Why? Because he wants to hand you, Jesus now wants to hand you all these glories from God because he knows it'll change you. It'll transform your life. And then Jesus knows you will be able to glorify God. That's what he's trying to fix. He's trying to help you do what you were made to do, to find your purpose in life. And you are made, you are designed to find all of your joy in God and glorify him. You're made to glorify God. So do it. You will find no more happiness in life than when you do that. It'll be the happiest you ever experience. A lot of people like Christmas because it makes them happy to give to others. That's a God complex. And you're kind of supposed to have that. God is a giver, so you should be a giver. When you do give, oh, I like this. I have something to give. There's a cool feeling to that when you're able to give people to meet needs. That's a great, you know what that is? That's you just scratching the surface of who you were meant to be. You're meant to be a giver. But you're not just supposed to give out of what you have. You're meant to be a bigger giver than that. Second part of that sentence. The ultimate glory of God is Jesus, and God is pleased with those who follow his Son. Yep. So, how much do I glorify God? How often do I receive from God and then reflect it back so that other people can see it? How often do I receive from God, benefit from God, grow with God, draw close to God, but then share it in such a way that other people are now glorified by God or receive his glory and then they can glorify? How often do you take what you're learning in the Bible, take what you've memorized, take what has blessed you, and then serve other people with it? That's the point. And if you're not serving, if you're not giving, if you're not doing and sharing the things you've learned, there's not a, you're the Dead Sea, and you're stanky. And nobody's going to want to be around that. long term. And churches can do that. Churches can die. Churches can become a cesspool with all the truth that becomes stagnant and stuck. Serve other people and you will glorify God. So reflecting on just on this little phrase today, glory to God in the highest and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. We cannot have peace without pleasing God. And you can't please God without glorifying God. Jesus is the ultimate glory of God, so you have to come to God through Jesus, and then you'll find peace. Everybody wants a simple recipe for peace. You can't get any simpler than follow Jesus. That's about as basic as I can make it. That won't fix my family. Oh, that kind of peace. You're looking for the wrong kind of peace. You fix what's wrong between you and God first. And then let him handle the rest. Don't come to God expecting situations and circumstances to be peaceful when it's you and God that need to be at peace. When he gives you his peace, you can live in the middle of conflict and be unfrazzled and think clearly and do right. How much do I really glorify God? I think that's the best way of asking how much peace is there in your life. So if I ask you how much peace is there in your life, we might get a variety of answers depending on which area of life you are looking at. But if instead of looking for peace this morning, I ask you to look for where you are glorifying God, the areas where you can honestly say you are glorifying God, I think those are the areas where you will find the most peace. And flip that over, the areas in your life where you have the most conflict and war and tension and anxiety, those probably aren't the areas in your life where you are glorifying God very much. Casting all your cares upon him. Praying for your coworkers, your enemies, I mean your bosses. Meeting their needs. Being their servants. Giving Christmas presents and cards to people who've never even said good morning to you. We're really good at reciprocating. In fact, we kind of hate that game, right? Oh, he gave me a present. I got to give him one. We play that game with our neighbors every year. Like we try to get them first. We strike first with little presents. And then in the next couple weeks, yeah, somebody over, this neighbor will bring you something. This neighbor might bring you something. It's like, would they have done that if we hadn't have given them something? I don't know, but I'm not in it for that. I've been blessed, and I want them to know that we're approachable. I want them to know that we're not giving them the cold shoulder. I want them to know that we are acknowledging their existence. How easy is it to just ignore and be silent? I end by asking you how well you know Jesus. In Isaiah 9:6, Jesus is crowned with the title Prince of Peace. Whoa. And many of you would say Jesus is the prince or the king or the ruler or the savior of your life. If that's true, then you should be a person who overflows with peace. Because you're following Jesus and he's given you himself. You ready to practice that? In about 6 days, four of you for some, you get to practice that. You're going to probably be eating and hanging out with people who do not believe the same as you. You're going to be exchanging presents with people who do not believe Jesus is who he says he is. You're going to spend holiday parties, Christmas parties, work parties. If you work retail, God help you. You've got customers. You've got patients. You're going to have sad people in hospitals. You're going to have lonely people. You're going to have stressed out moms and dads and disgruntled or bouncing off the walls children. What a week. You're about to find out how close to Jesus you are. Will you join me this morning as we really pray for Jesus to really be present and to be the Prince of Peace? We can have it. And then we will be glorifying God when we demonstrate peace. So stand with me. Preparing our hearts for Christmas. We will be back again on Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve, we are meeting at 5, is that right? I did that early, so because some of you all are very sophisticated and you open your presents on Christmas Eve. I appreciate that about you. So Christmas Eve, we'll be back at 5 o'clock with some carols, some candlelight, and some communion. But don't wait till then to be right with God. Today. Make it today. Make today when you seek peace. Let's pray together. Bow your heads, close your eyes, and let me remind you, with nobody looking, as I pray, pray along with me. If I say something you agree with, tell yourself, amen, so be it. If I miss something or God brings something to your mind while I'm praying, then you pray that, and then you catch back up with me. I am not praying over you, I am praying with you. We are praying together as a community of believers who want nothing more than for Jesus to be the reason for every day and especially this season. God, we come to you and we thank you for all the things you have given us. The truth, our lives. You have been gentle to us. You have been kind to us. You have been faithful to us. You have given us joy in our salvation. You've given us grace upon grace. Your glories have streamed down upon us our entire lives. And we've received and received and received and received. Help us, God. Help us to talk about that with other people, to glorify you. Help us to show peace and grace and forgiveness to other people so we can glorify you. Help us to love unlovable people like you love us so we would glorify you. Help us to be generous with our time and our resources because it's all yours anyway. You've given it to us. Help us to glorify you with everything that is in our lives so that the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding and which finds its ultimate focus in the person of Jesus, will rest upon us and we will be a peaceful people no matter what variant rises up in January, no matter which party controls the politics, no matter what happens in our homes or in our jobs. We will be a people who are finding their peace in Jesus. That's our prayer. Help our family members to find that peace as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us, let us find our rest in thee. Israel, strength and consolation, hope of all. Joy of every longing heart.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Funeral is tomorrow at 11 o'clock. If you want to sign up to bring a side dish or dessert, you can do that with Ann after the service. We also need a couple people to work the kitchen. The meal is at 12 o'clock. And if you are going to buy something today and want to drop it off, we will have somebody here in the building from 4 to 5 if you want to buy something today and bring it by between 4 and 5. And then we'll take care of heating it up or preparing it tomorrow as needed. So pray for Janine. God bless you. Amen.